Hello, Denim Heads, and welcome to the Sons of Selfage podcast. This is our first in-person recording for the YouTube channel and for the podcast, so thanks for listening. Today I'm hanging out with Nick from Stock Tank Supply. We're at the Inspiration show in LA, which is sort of a vintage and denim-inspired, trade show?
Yeah,
hangout.
Trade show. Yeah, it's a gathering of similar minds, you know?
Yeah, denim heads, vintage heads, boot heads, etc.
For sure.
Well, thanks for taking time to speak, Nick, today. So I remember running across your brand on Instagram about a year ago. You were doing some really cool stuff with some Blue F denim that like really caught my eye. I'm not sure how I found you in my feed, whether it was a recommendation from Instagram or just somehow stumbled across your brand, but I thought you've done some pretty cool stuff and
appreciate that, man.
Got a chance to meet you in person today. So maybe, yeah, tell us a little bit about what Stock Tank Supply is, how you started it, and maybe we'll go into some of the details of your garments.
Absolutely. It's going on 10 years this year, to be honest. It started off as a friend of mine had a golf clothing line, and him and his brother, and he was in LA, and we were golfing, talking about some stuff, and we talked about making some custom jeans. And I'm a petroleum engineer, and that's my day gig, and so I was really into it. I've been a denim head, you know, my whole life basically, and it was just the more I started digging into making this custom pair of jeans that we talked about, it was like, you know, started getting into the fabric and hardware patterns and you know, all the details. The engineer kind of took over, and all said and done, I wasn't going to just kind of end with this custom pair of jeans and that'd be the end of it. So Stock Tank was born then, 2014. Officially, kind of, we started working on some patterns and some sampling for the first few years, and then 2016 we did the first inaugural 100-piece run with some white oak deadstock 1968 fabric. And my intention at that point was to really use that fabric solely and kind of incorporate it into all my garments. But you know, with the closure of the white oak plant in 2018, that kind of kiboshed that concept. And me and the wife took a trip to Japan, and you know, that was kind of the first thought, was, you know, start using some Japanese denim. But I had, at the time in 2018, I had purchased a bunch of fabric from white oak just to sit on, you know, just in a few different pieces, not denim that I'd used before, but anyways, it was some white oak that I knew I could use in the future. And then in 2020, I found out, lo and behold, they left two of the shuttle looms at the white oak plant in Greensboro, and a nonprofit was formed, WOLF, the White Oak Legacy Foundation, and that was formed to preserve the history of the brand, of the factory, of the machines. And the best way to obviously preserve the machines is to work them and maintain them. And I reached out, and some back and forth, and basically like an interview process was constructed. And Evan Morrison, the man behind it, he gracefully said, we'd like to make some denim for you. So in 2022, we had our own proprietary loom state. It's a 12.2 ounce, little mid to lightweight denim with a royal blue weft and a broken twill construction. And I decided at that point to kind of recreate a garment from a brand from my hometown, Edmonton, Alberta. It's an old denim brand, the Great Western Garment Co. Levi's purchased some in the 40s, but they always still maintained their presence until early 2000s. I kind of repopped a 1970s Cowboys Kings jacket, and with that, a pant that was a similar markup of my original jean, which is like a 1947 Levi's 501. with a few other iterations to it, and kind of created the denim tuxedo in this royal blue weft.
Maybe to kind of like pause on that for a second.
Sure.
What led you to go with the broken twill and the blue weft? Let's double check. Good. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. What took you down the direction of like this specific denim being your proprietary? And like, what was your kind of design decisions to go with that denim?
GWG was known for using broken twill for one, so I wanted to keep that aspect of it. The royal blue fill on it was, we kind of was back and forth. I was going to go with some orange originally, which is some hometown Edmonton. I'm a true blue Edmonton Oilers fan, so having some orange in it was, but he'd already made some fabric with the orange. So we talked about a few different colors, a few different options, and he came across this reactive dyed royal blue fill for me, and it was really me just kind of rolling the dice because he'd never woven any of it before, and I was really excited to see what was going to come of it. And during the initial test run, they made like 10 yards off the back of a run that they were doing, and I was really happy with it. So we decided to go with the, I ended up getting 400 yards, and we made 40 pieces of the jacket and 60 of the jean, and it's really beautiful.
If you show us this raw pair here that hasn't been washed, and maybe if you could also show us that pair I tried on yesterday, this
sure.
The faded pair, so you can
absolutely
see before and after.
I'm not sure how you can get in there, but it's super fuzzy. The royal blue on it really gives a really blue pop on the outside of the fabric. But here's your,
that's awesome.
Here's your weft thread, broken twill construction, and classic red line detail in the selvage.
It's a really interesting color because it kind of like, at some angles you see the indigo, at some angles you see the kind of like cerulean blue. It's really cool how it sort of alters based upon how you're looking at it.
Absolutely. So I grabbed this pair of jeans that I wore for about six months or so last year, right when I'd end up doing this production run. And this, so we've been, I truly didn't go through the traditional shrink to fit aspect of this and soak them right out of the gate. I wore them raw, and then shrunk them after the fact. The pair I'm wearing, which you can't see, I went through the true process of jumping in the tub and hot soaking them to fit at first. So, but I really just, I was eager to get into them and start wearing them. But as this pair starts to break down, you truly can see some of the fading aspects coming through, and the kind of more electric blue tones are starting to pop. And I'm just super, super happy with how these came out.
And maybe what's the story behind your logo? Because I know you've got like a cool piece of artwork here. You've got, your patch on the jeans. Like,
absolutely.
What's the story with that?
So Stock Tank Supply, as a petroleum engineer, a stock tank is basically a vessel that you store oil in. And for me, that's kind of like my creative vessel, pouring all my creativity into this stock tank. And so STS, Stock Tank Supply, is where the name came from. This specific piece is from a graffiti artist, Adam Fu. He does some amazing work with spray paint that mimics neon signs. And I'm a huge neon sign nerd, and I commissioned him to do that. And that's actually on a piece of 1968 white oak. So at some point, this thing's been running around with me doing markets and events, so it's getting a little beat up, and with time I'll take it off the canvas frame and iron it out and see how that thing looks too. So everything's in evolution with Stock Tank. As you can see too on this string of lines here, these are all personal pairs that I've been wearing for the last 10 years. Not everybody knows raw denim. And so when I do the Rose Bowl every month, and so just explaining to people, the process of purchasing something raw, going through the evolution, putting some life and some time and some commitment into it, and really bringing it to life is this is what you can get. I've a lot of people try to buy these jeans all the time, but they're never for sale.
Yeah. So before maybe move on to your jacket, you mentioned you're at the Rose Bowl each month. Like, how can folks find you? You know, Instagram, website, in person.
Sounds good. Yeah, Stock Tank Supply, straight up. It's at Stock Tank Supply for Instagram. Same with the website, www.stocktanksupply.com. You know, I'm not super active on you know, Instagram all the time, but you know, I try to play the game a little bit here and there. And but yeah, in person is always the best, and I know that's hard to do being here in LA. You know, it's hard to get a reach elsewhere, but I really appreciate this much in great detail. So
yeah. Cool. Maybe tell us a little bit about your jacket, because you had some interesting kind of design history behind that as well.
Sure, absolutely. So this jacket here, as I mentioned, is a repop of a GWG, Great Western Garment Co. Cowboy Kings jacket. And so it's got these nice deep welt pockets. I added some additional length on it because this traditionally sat at the waist, in a more of a Western style riding jacket. But I want it to be more of a ranch, not necessarily a chore coat, but more of a ranch utility piece. So it's a little boxier in the chest. And then additionally, I've always used triple needle on my yokes on my jeans. But I also did that here on the yokes of the jacket, as well as the shoulder, an old triple needle cabayo, and a selvage hanger hoop. And I try to keep branding truly pretty minimal with all my gear. It's always pretty subtle. One other specific detail I've always really been prone to is using a black thread with my denim. It's really tonal to start, but as with time, that contrast begins to pop a lot more. And I really love that detail. And this is traditional to the jacket as well, the Western zigzag stitch on there. Triple needle all the way down the back. I did cut out, it did have some cinches. I took them out on this production, but could bring them back down the road.
I think the reduction is cool. Like, I think with denim, folks always want to add more. So I think taking stuff away and paring it down is quite cool. Makes it interesting in its own regard. It's like, how can I simplify it, but still keep the spirit of the original garment and what I wanted? So I think that's cool. Maybe you could touch on the limited nature of each of these. Each of these runs are quite a small batch, right?
That's correct. Yeah, so everything I make is just a single run production, one time only. You know, obviously I'll use the pattern again. I'll repurpose fabric into different garments, but the full-on combination of details, patterns, and fabric is always just a one-time, whether it's t-shirts, denim, to, you know, these other pieces I have here, these knits, one-time runs only, and
reinforcements.
Yeah, this is a canvas from a mill in Northern California called Houston Textile, with a family-run outfit. So I added that chest pockets, as well as some elbow pads with these extended cuffs on there. It's like mimicked off of an old kind of racing / hockey jersey. You know, got some raglan sleeves on it, gussets on the front and back, and just a good utility shirt. You know, fits good as an undergarment as well as a solid piece in the summer.
Maybe one last thing too, if you could speak a little bit about the black denim you did with Cone Proximity.
Sure.
And kind of the relationship with that and the indigo. You mentioned some of the kind of the manufacturing of the denim was the same.
So this here, I'm not sure when this podcast will get released, but I haven't even officially released this jean yet. We just finished a jacket, same jacket, but with this double black selvage. And this is a deadstock white oak. I purchased this in 2017. Early 2018, after the mill plant closure announcement, and I was informed more recently, because I was doing some more digging on the specific fabric, that the construction detail on this denim is 1968, same construction specs. However, obviously it's a sulfur dyed warp and then a black dyed fill, but I haven't even really started wearing a piece of this yet. So I'm really interested to see how this comes to life, because it's got some slub to it. and it's really truly rare fabric. So we made 24 of the jean and 28 of the jacket.
Awesome.
That'll the jeans will be kind of on pre-order here next week, and I'll finish them up. I got to put patches on them and do some finishing details. I always kind of add a little signature aspect to, you know, on the pocket bags, and, you know, always add something. Everything's always a little bit unique from one another too, so.
Maybe one last thing to touch on too. You mentioned a bit about the hats using some of your dead stock cone fabric.
Yes.
Maybe tell us a bit about that as well.
Sure. Yeah, I've mentioned I always originally intended to use that 1968 in most of my garments. So I had made some, this is one of the original production piece I made, this trucker hat, super high front, but this is the 1968 as well on this, but it has a twill backing. And then this one here, I made a lot of like 40 hats with three different upper fabrics. One was fully 1968, the other is this combination here. This is a 2x1 construction. It's got a lot of slub and slub to it too, and as this thing starts to fade, it really gives it like kind of like a matrix coat fade to it, evolution. It's pretty beautiful. And then the other one I had was a natural, kind of like an old school baseball.
Right. Yeah.
However, you know, the natural with a lot of wear gets kind of greasy and grimy. So.
Turns sort of brown.
Yeah, with time. But regardless, it's a pretty cool hat, you know, fresh out the gate. So. But yeah, so these are made with some dead stock fabrics, and I do have a bunch of yardage left of this and a few other stuff that, you know, we'll be using in other pieces down the road.
Awesome. So. And that jacket's one of your older Type 3s that you made, right?
Correct. So this is the first jacket run I did a couple of years ago, 2020 maybe.
Yeah.
And I started wearing this one specifically in May 2021. It's just, I use it all the time for loading and doing these events and stuff, so really give it as, you know, the most abuse I can give it. She's holding up great. Fabric is, I don't know, I'm sad that 1968 no longer exists, but at the same time, I'm pretty stoked that now I kind of have this heritage collection that's like specific to a fabric, and, you know, it's like a time capsule related to that fabric, and, you know, can always look back. And
maybe one last thing to cover then is, you mentioned a bit how when you worked with Proximity that they were like willing, after a bit of back and forth, they're willing to do this fabric for you, but they weren't sure at first, and then now it's kind of like only your fabric, right? Like, this is kind of unique to you.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, they originally, it was kind of back and forth, and they were a little hesitant, curious as to who I am, what I'm even doing, you know, me and Evan had some phone calls and some discussions, and basically they, you know, he was like, we got to support the Davids over the Goliaths, and he's like, you know, we're with you through and through, and so he was happy to do it, and now ever since, you know, we were supporting each other full on.
Awesome.
And I love to see that, you know, keeping the American salvage scene is, you know, sometimes I feel it gets overshadowed by the Japanese salvage. You know, by all means, they make beautiful fabrics, and I love them, absolutely. But at the same time, when I originally started Stock Tank and was sourcing white oak, I just kind of wanted to stick with that same tradition. And when Proximity popped up, it just made sense, and I did everything I could to make it happen. So
awesome.
Here we are. So.
Cool, Nick, thank you very much. Anything else you want to close with or you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, thank you all. Hope you got some intel. Hope you got a little insight into the brand, who I am, what I'm about. And, you know, if you're ever interested, just hit me up. You know, like I say, on Instagram, I'll respond to DMs or hit the website in an email or whatever. Always happy to chat. And thank you. Appreciate your time,
awesome,
man.
Yeah, definitely. And congrats on being our first in-person interview. So
okay.
It'd be cool to get on YouTube and everything.
I'll work the kinks out for you, no problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, buddy. Cheers,
awesome,
man.
Thank you.
Thank you.